So our readings today continue with a theme that we've seen actually through the Sundays of Advent, one of God making a covenant with mankind, a promise made and a promise kept, as Father David said in one of his homilies a couple of weeks ago. Now, a covenant is an agreement, a promise made between two parties. But unlike some promises where one of the parties is active and the other party is passive, a covenant requires action, the execution of an obligation by each of the parties involved. In the first reading, Abram is promised by God that even though he is an old man, his own issue will be his heir. And further, the descendants of Abram will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Now for Abram's part, his corresponding promise of the covenant with God was to put his trust and his faith in the Lord. And what happened? Well, in the second reading, Abram acts on his faith. He is renamed by God Abraham, which means the father of nations. God calls him to a land he does not know to receive his inheritance, God's promise to him. In faith, Abraham goes, because the one who made the promise was trustworthy. So again, faith and trust is Abraham's part in the covenant. And God fulfills his part, and Abraham generates an heir with his wife Sarah, even though at the time Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah is 90 years old and was barren her whole life. After his son Isaac is born, God asks Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Now, Abraham does not understand this logic or this reasoning, especially since it is through Isaac that his descendants will come. But Abraham acts in faith and in trust. And I ask you, rhetorical question, did God keep his covenantal promise to Abraham about his descendants? Oh yeah, he kept it. The three largest monotheistic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all profess Abraham to be their father in faith. Stars in the sky. Now let's fast forward about 2,000 years to Jesus being born in Bethlehem. In faith, Joseph and Mary take the infant Jesus to the temple to fulfill the dictates of the law of Moses. And while they're there, Simeon the prophet reveals his own promise received from the Lord. He would not see death until he saw the salvation of the people, the light for the Gentiles, the glory of Israel, all of which were fulfilled in the child Jesus. Now, Simeon had been living in faith and in trust of the Lord for many years, and it's there that he declares, "Master, you may now let your servant go in peace." Simeon is ready to pass on into the next world after receiving the fulfillment of God's promise. And Joseph and Mary were amazed. They didn't understand the prophecy, but they too were living in faith and in trust in the Lord. Now think about what had happened to them up to that moment when they went to the temple. Mary, a teenage girl, visited by an angel and asked to bear the Son of the Most High God. And Mary was a virgin. And she didn't understand God's reasoning and logic, how she could conceive a child as a virgin. If she harbored any other doubts, we don't know. We don't know whether she was concerned for her reputation. We don't know if she feared for her life as an unwed pregnant teenage girl in first century Palestine. But what we do know is that she acted in faith and in trust with God. "I am the handmaid of the Lord," she said. "Let it be done to me according to your word." And what of Joseph? When he discovered that Mary was with child and not his child, he wanted to divorce her. But Joseph, too, was visited by an angel who told him, "Do not be afraid, Joseph. Take Mary as your wife. The child conceived within her is from the Holy Spirit. You will name him Jesus," which means God saves, "because he will save all the people from their sins." And Joseph, too, acts in faith. He takes Mary to his home, raises Jesus as his own. Now, if we look ahead to Monday, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, we see that Joseph once again steps out in faith and trust in the Lord, again heeding an angel's warning in order to protect the Holy Family of Jesus and Mary and Joseph himself from the wrath of Herod, who is out to kill the child. Joseph leaves everything, his home, his job, his family, his friends, and he goes to Egypt, a land he does not know. Fast forward 2,000 more years to today. Most of us live in a Christian family. We know from our catechesis that the family is the domestic church. And because we've either been raised in a Christian family or we currently live in a Christian family, there might be a tendency for us to compare ourselves with the Holy Family. We may feel that we may need to imitate the Holy Family. And this could be quite a daunting task if we were to assume that. Jesus, the child of the Holy Family, Savior of the world, both human and divine, sent by God to redeem humanity from their sins. No pressure there as a child, huh? Mary, Mother of God, the Immaculata, conceived without sin, pure, ever virgin, forever. Joseph, the righteous man and the most chaste spouse of Mary, the earthly foster father of Jesus, the Savior of the world. Again, no pressure. If we compare ourselves to the Holy Family, we may be discouraged about how far away our own lives appear to be from theirs. Brothers and sisters, we are not called to emulate the Holy Family in those ways. We are called to emulate the Holy Family by acting and living in faith and in trust of God. Just like Abraham, our part in fulfilling the covenant is to execute that faith and trust in the Lord. Now, to be sure, the Holy Family can help us do that. They can assist us through special devotions or through consecrations. For example, to grow in faith and trust in God, we might participate in the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Or we might consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary, what's known as the Marian Consecration by St. Louis de Montfort. And there is even a consecration through St. Joseph. Now, the Josephite consecration has gained kind of a renewed popularity lately because of a book published by Father Donald Calloway, and also because Pope Francis just declared this year to be the year of St. Joseph. And there's a novena we can pray to the Holy Family as well. You could even start that tonight. And speaking of prayers, we can make intercessory prayer requests to each member of the Holy Family. Prayers to Jesus, who came to do his Father's will. And when faced with that human fear in the Garden of Gethsemane, he turned to his Heavenly Father, and with unconditional faith, he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Prayers to Mary, who was given to all of us as our mother when she was given to John by Jesus from the cross. And as Simeon prophesied, because her heart would be pierced by the sufferings of Christ, many hearts would be revealed to her, including our hearts. Prayers to Joseph, who, while silent in words in his gospel, spoke volumes through his actions. Worker, provider, protector of the Holy Family, who never faltered in his trust of God. God remembers forever his covenant. Look to the Lord in his strength. Constantly seek his face.